I'm going there to, I want to win the tournament. I mean, I don't know how possible it is. Like, I'm definitely been working hard and playing well. I mean, that's everyone's goal who's going to the tournament. They want to win it. I'm not going there to try and win two rounds.
I love that.
And then losing straight sets or something. Obviously, I want to win every match I play. Sometimes it's tougher with different opponents, but every time I step on court, I want to win the match.
Hey everyone, John Worth, I'm here. It's this week's Sports Illustrated / Tennis Channel Tennis Podcast. I am headed away for a few days before the U.S. Open, so we're going to tape this in advance. Our guest this week is Tommy Paul, 20-year-old American. Started the summer, perhaps, hope this doesn't sound too harsh, perhaps the Ringo Starr of the young Americans. And now here we are in late August, and he is the Paul McCartney. He's had a very nice summer. He has won many, many matches. He has more than halved his ranking. He'll be in the main draw of the U.S. Open, 20 years old, coming off a very strong hard court summer, playing as well as any young American, perhaps this side of Francis Tiafoe. Tommy Paul joins us, talks a bit about what it's like to be part of this young generation of American players, what his expectations are for the U.S. Open. We applaud him for his ambitious goals. Nice kid, 20-year-old. Tommy Paul joins us. He'll be playing in the U.S. Open main draw starting next week. Tommy Paul, welcome. How are you?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Where'd we get you?
I just got back to the house after practice. So,
are you in North Carolina?
No, I'm in Orlando, just training.
I was gonna say, how do we jump right in? How do we spend the week before the biggest event of the year?
I'm going to play Winston-Salem or not, and I just decided to stay in Orlando and kind of train and work on fitness and maybe do some 3 out of 5 set practice matches and just get ready for the Open.
So what you got to explain this to everyone. What's going on with you? You've had a monster summer. I was looking at your results in June. You played in Winston-Salem, not in the ATP event, but an ITF event, and you were ranked 393, and you've shaved more than 200 places off your ranking since then. What's going on with you?
I don't know. Just I feel like a lot of it is a mindset. I mean, definitely been working hard. I mean, I'd say most of it's really mindset, though. I've kind of changed the way my mind is during my matches and before my matches, so I think that helps a lot.
We've had players on a lot, and confidence is a word in heavy rotation. But give us an idea of what that really means when you say your mindset has changed before your matches. What was it, and what is it now?
I mean, if we're talking about confidence, like confidence for me is just like always looking forward to being on the court. Like when you're confident, like you're happy, you know, like you're ready to go play all the time and have fun out on the court. That's what's most important. That's when everyone plays their best tennis. So that's what kind of mindset I'm trying to get into before every match. And I think I'm doing a pretty good job, having a lot of fun out there. So it's been good.
Quarters in Atlanta, quarters in D.C., nice run in Cincy. How big a difference is a best of three match in severe heat versus a best of five match? I mean, how in your mind, how much is this change in format an impact?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think that I'm a pretty physical player. I mean, I like to think that I'm in really good shape. So, I mean, hopefully that works to my advantage a lot. But I've actually only played 1 3-5 set match in my life, and I lost in straight sets. So it was kind of like playing a 3-set match anyway. So I'm kind of looking forward to, I mean, hopefully I can win some matches in straight, but I'm kind of looking forward to going the distance in some matches and testing my physicality and see how I hold up against all these players that have been doing it for a while. Like, I'm really excited.
How much do you care about weather? I mean, you train in Orlando, and it's you know, obviously humidity is something you're probably used to, but how much do you sort of consult weather maps and weather reports before you get out there?
I mean, the only reason I really look at the weather is just for like stringing my rackets. Really, if it's colder, then I'll string a little bit looser. But I mean, that's pretty much the only reason I look at the weather. I'm kind of comfortable with playing in the heat. I actually kind of prefer the heat sometimes, but I mean, it's obviously comfortable to go out there and play in like 70, 75, 78 degrees. That's like awesome. But I mean, for me, physically, I mean, it's great when I'm playing really hot and just kind of outwork my opponent.
I'm going to sound like a grandparent here, but have you grown? I mean, I think we spoke on the roof at Wimbledon, I think 2 years ago when you were coming off the Roland Garros title. I saw you on TV. I'm like, this guy looks like he's about 2 or 3 inches taller than he was 2 summers ago. Is that me?
Oh, I mean, I think that might just be you. I don't think I grew. I mean, I think I got a lot stronger, a lot bigger. But I don't know about height wise. I don't think I grew. Maybe like half an inch, but I'm not sure.
Looks like you had a growth spurt. Tell us about yourself. I mean, how'd you grow up? What kind of upbringing you have? What do your folks do?
I grew up. Well, I was born in New Jersey. Moved to North Carolina when I was like 6 months old, and lived there pretty much my whole childhood. I would say I'm a North Carolina guy, like being a Southern boy, so I really like that area. My mom played tennis at ECU, East Carolina University. That's kind of how I got into it. That kind of got me started. And then, like, once I could hit the ball, I just started tennis playing with the older doubles people. That's kind of how I started, just going out there and playing with the older people. They were nice enough to let me go out and hit with them. So that was pretty cool. And then my sister started getting into it around the same time as me. And then we kind of just practiced together until I was like 13. It was like me and my sister, like my best friend, Evan Wells. He would come practice me a lot. And then Jonathan O'Neill, it was us four. And we kind of just worked and practiced in Greenville, North Carolina. And then USGA picked me up, and they've helped me out a ton since then.
Anytime we can name check Greenville, North Carolina, we're happy. Did you... how seriously do you think about college?
I mean, I always thought I was like, obviously every player when they're young has a dream of going pro. That was always my goal when I was little and growing up playing the North Carolina tournaments. And then, like from 14 to 17, like that was, I was like, all right, I'm going to college. I always knew it was either going to be UNC or Georgia, and I liked the coaches at both a lot, and I ended up committing to go to Georgia.
Oh, you did? I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, I committed to go to Georgia right before – it was right after Savannah Challenger, and then right before I went to Europe for – played three futures and then the French Open. And then after – like, I wasn't talking to any agents. Like, no agents were reaching out to me, and I wasn't really reaching out to any agents. I didn't really have the thought of going pro in my mind too much. And then after French Open and those futures, they started reaching out to me a lot. And then Nike reached out to me. And then I was like, all right, like give me a deal and I'll look over it and see what happens. And I mean, I liked it. So then I ended up turning pro right then.
You got your deal. How are you already sick of the tennis generation question? Are you you obviously... You know, 25 years ago is Andre Pete and Jim and Michael Chang, and now there does seem to be this cluster. Do we make too much of that? I mean, do you see yourself as this generation? Are these your rivals, or is this something that sort of the tennis salon has taken on itself?
I mean, I definitely think we have an unbelievable group. The Americans are awesome. Like, I think a group of Americans that we have is so cool. All of us growing up together and pushing each other. But I mean, it's also cool that there's people from around the world at the same time. Like the Russians have three guys that are playing unreal tennis right now as well. And then Canada, obviously they got a bunch of young guys that are doing really well. So, I mean, I think it's really cool not just having Americans, but guys all over the world my age playing at higher levels than me and kind of pushing me to do better.
So how does that play out? I mean, you see that you know, Shapovalov beats Nadal in Montreal in a third set breaker. You're Tommy Paul, up and coming American. I mean, how do you process that? Is that you're happy for him? It's inspirational. How does that play out when you see a result like that?
No, I'm definitely just happy for the guy. I mean, I don't know him like too well, but definitely like if I see him like we talk to each other like, hey, what's up? Like, how you been and stuff. And I mean, he's a really nice guy, so love seeing him do well. Felix also a great guy. I mean, all the guys my age, I really just like seeing doing well, and I mean, it pushes me too. So like, I mean, I think I can compete with all of them, and want to be better than all of them, and they all want to be better than the rest of us. So I think it's cool having everyone competing against each other.
What do you think that my pet theory is that this all starts with Federer Nadal and sort of trickles down to the rest of the field, but it does seem like there's very little friction among players in general, but among, say, the 20 and under set in particular. You'll never, even on court, you don't really sense that there's a whole lot of tension or that there's a whole lot of personal animus. A, is that accurate? And B, what do you think that is? I mean, it seems like you guys actually kind of like each other.
Yeah, no, I mean, for your first question, I think we all get along pretty well. I mean, there's some of us that get along with each other better than others, for sure. But, I mean, I think it's just we all respect each other. We all respect each other's game, and we all gave up so much to do what we're doing now. So I think we all respect that out of each other. And, I mean, I just – we all grew up – all grew up playing the same tournaments and seeing each other since junior. So, I mean, I wouldn't say all of us were always like close, even like from the beginning, but then I think as the years went on, we kind of all became closer and respect each other more.
You just mentioned sacrifice. I mean, what do you think what have you given up? What do you think the biggest thing is that you've given up to do what you're doing?
I mean, I had to move away from North Carolina, move away from my family and friends. I think that's a pretty big sacrifice. I mean, you just give up. You pretty much give up a lot of your social life. I mean, I would say a lot of the players, like most of their friends are on tour, but I like to kind of stay. Like, I definitely have friends on tour for sure, but I kind of like to stay have my friends at home that I can come back to after the tournaments are done. And kind of just stay off of the tennis site besides when I'm playing my matches and practicing, you know?
I wanted to ask you, you and Roger Federer share an agent, teammate, agent.
Yeah.
We'll have you know, he walks his dog and listens to this podcast. But what's your relationship with Roger? I mean, what's your relationship? What have you learned from him?
I mean, it's awesome, really. I mean, in Indian Wells, I wasn't even playing the tournament. I was kind of just there practicing, and he brought me over to his house. We had like some practice. He had a court at his house that he had in Indian Wells for the tournament. We did some practices there. Ate like had a lunch with him and his family, and I mean, it's just cool. You can like pick his brain a little bit, talk to him, and I mean, it's just obviously unbelievable talking to someone that knows that much about tennis, and it's just endless knowledge.
Is he someone you can use as a resource? I mean, can you call him and say, you know, I see it's going to be 106 degrees out tomorrow on court. What do you recommend? Or, you know, what's I know you've played this guy 13 times.
I wouldn't really say that. No, I don't think I've ever done that. I'm kind of like I kind of stick to myself kind of a lot. I mean, I don't know if I could do that. I just haven't really tried that. But I don't know. He's still working on. He wants to win every tournament he's playing, and I kind of want to win every tournament I'm playing. So, I mean, that's kind of how it is right now. Maybe when he's done, I can reach out to him a little bit more and stuff. But right now, I think, I mean, he could be an opponent at any tournament that I'm playing right now. So,
when you saw him in Indian Wells, did he tell you the story with Jay-Z and the house he was renting?
No, not really.
Yeah, they were.
I just knew it was like Sylvester Stallone's old house.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's so apparently when I'm probably overstepping my bounds here. Apparently Jay-Z had rented that house as well, and but he flew all of his furniture, including his bed, in from New York because he wanted to sleep in his own bed. Just a little trivia.
Oh, my God.
Realistically, what are your expectations at the Open?
I'm going there to... I want to win the tournament. I mean, I don't know how possible it is. Like, I'm definitely been working hard and playing well. I mean, that's everyone's goal who's going to the tournament. They want to win it. But, I mean, there's definitely a lot of tough competition out there, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, I like that. See, on your ATP page, it says your tennis goal is to be the best I can be, which, you know,
yeah.
I applaud your approach. Seems a little vague. I like that you're I like what you just said about the Open.
I mean
you don't see this as like,
want to win every tournament.
There you go. That's more like, all right, I like that. That's much better than be the best I can be.
I'm not going there to try and win two rounds. And then,
I love that.
And then losing straight sets or something. Obviously, I want to win every match I play. Sometimes it's tougher with different opponents, but every time I step on court, I want to win the match.
If I told you that makes all the sense in the world, and you're right. I mean, it would be crazy to think otherwise. If I told you we've phrased that question to other players, and it's they do not have your confidence. I like your answer. Too often players say, well, you know, I just want to last year I did this well, and I hope to do at least that well this year. I like your approach. You're going there for the trophy, right?
Yeah.
What's your coaching situation these days? You're still USTA, right?
Yeah, I'm with Diego Moyano, and we've just been practicing at USTA in Orlando. He's still a USTA coach, so I'm with USTA.
What do you make of the facility?
It's huge. You never have to battle for courts, that's for sure.
That's good.
you never have to share a court.
But you like the idea? I mean, it's you know, there's obviously one of the to me, it's one of the great things about tennis, but also I think one of the frustrations, there's no right way to do it. And some people want a big sprawling facility. Others think it needs to be more personalized. I mean, what's it like training there? And, you know, this obviously you've had both sides of it. I mean, what is it like training at Lake Nona in such a big facility?
It's cool. I mean, we have a lot of guys to practice with. I mean, not everyone bases themselves out of Lake Nona, but a lot of people come through Lake Nona and practice for weeks at a time. Like Mackie McDonald's here right now practicing with us, and Deaton Bauman's here practicing with us, and Francis, I don't even know what he is right now. I don't know if he's based out of Lake Nona or if he just comes every now and then, but he has an apartment here, and it's just cool. And then Bjorn, Mitch, Riley, like I'm actually like kind of bumming off of Riley right now, living in this house until I get my apartment. So, I mean, it's awesome the amount of players that we have here and the coaching and just the whole staff. They're doing a good job.
So part of being a young player and making this push is the wins and bunching them together. And again, you've had a great, great, great summer. Part of it is dealing with defeat. In D.C., you had match points against Nishikori. We've seen this a lot with, you know, a lot of players. I mean, Francis has had match points and hasn't won matches. I mean, it's part of the process. But what is it like?
Yeah.
What is that feeling like when it's not, you know, I can't, you know, Francis goes out and people lose, and John Isner serves you off the court 3-3. That's one thing. What happens when you're that close to winning a match? I mean, at your age, at your point in your career, how does that get processed?
Like, are you talking about, like, while I'm on the court, like, what am I thinking?
Yeah,
after,
but, I mean, do you walk off the court and you say, boy, that was great. I came within a point of knocking off a guy who's been a top five player. Do you say, you know, throwing rackets in the locker room, I couldn't close. Like, how do you go through a defeat like that? Which is, again, this is every single player has lost a match, a close match in their career.
Yeah.
It's part of the process.
No, I mean, during the match, I mean, I was just out there having a good time. I was playing good tennis, and it was awesome because I had the crowd behind me, and I definitely play a lot better with a nice crowd support. So, when I had my match points, I really didn't do anything wrong on the first two. I played two really good points, and honestly, even the third one, I missed the ball, but I was definitely, it was a force there. I mean, I played my match points good. He just really stepped up and showed me what it is to be top player. You know, he's clutch in those moments, and he played really good tennis at the points that I needed to play good. And when I walked off the court, I mean, obviously, I'm not like how I was happy with like how the night was. Like I was having, like playing good tennis, the support was there, and I was happy with that. But I mean, definitely wanted to come off the court with a W. Definitely a little pissed off. And I mean, it was cool because after the match, I got texts from like a bunch of the old like American tennis players that used to dominate everything, and they're like really supportive, telling me to keep my head up and telling me don't worry, like those match points, like you played the right tennis. He just stepped up. So I mean, it was really cool.
It's cool. The cliche is, oh, he's going to be replaying that point in his head for the rest of the night, and he'll have nightmares about that volley. Does that really happen? I mean, do you visualize these points, or is it, hey, listen, you know, nice week here, and now I'm off to Canada.
Well, I mean, I was definitely like, damn, like if he made that, if he missed that drop shot in the net, it went over the net like an inch. I was like, ah, oh. But like at the same time, I don't really worry about that stuff. Like I don't get too caught up in my matches. Really, I kind of I'm quick to let him go, and I was just trying to tell myself let that one go and go on to the next week. And I did a pretty good job. I went back to Orlando for a practice week before. I didn't even go to Canada. I went to Orlando and then went to Cincinnati. So, I mean, I thought I did a pretty good job, and it was cool that all the old players were texting me, like helping me out.
If I ask you your ranking, do you know what it is?
No.
Do you know roughly what it is?
I don't. Probably around like 180 or 170.
All right, very good. No, so you sort of have a general sense, but you're not. I mean, I think on Monday you'll hit your career high, and but you're not following every single point you've accumulated.
No, I really like. I used to. I mean, obviously, when you first start playing pro tournaments and you're playing futures, like oh yeah, like 2 points here, like 6 points here, you like keep track. But really, I'm not really too big on keeping track of points. Like I just want to go out and win every match I play. You know, like I'm not thinking, oh, I gotta win this match so I can get 20 points or whatever. You know.
For the record, you're 175. So when you said 170, 180, something like that.
170 or 180,
good.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. All right, finally, are you the Carson Wentz of the American players? Is that a fair comparison?
Wow. Did you just bring up the Eagles?
No,
you
I
know
was going to say.
I'm an Eagles fan or no?
It says here you're, you know, it's funny. It says Voorhees, New Jersey, which is obviously South Jersey, right across the river. But you left when you were, you know, You were 6 months old, you said, when you left. So how'd you end up
yeah.
an Eagle? How'd you end up an Eagles fan when from ages 6 months on you lived in North Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, well, my parents or my mom moved back up to around Voorhees. Like she lives in like Cherry Hill area now. Like she moved back like 2 years ago, and I mean that's just where the rest of my family's kind of from, and they're not like huge into football or huge into sports, but like when they talk about a football team, they talk about the Eagles. So then I like, just kind of picked up on that.
How many games are the Eagles winning this year?
Oh, they're going all the way.
Come on. I like it when you say that about you at the U.S. Open. When you're talking about the Eagles,
No, I don't know. I mean, I hope so, but I don't think they have it in them right now. They don't have the.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think they have the wide receivers. I mean, they just got Alshon Jeffrey, but that's not enough. They just dropped Jordan Matthews or traded him. I don't know. I don't know how good they do. I just wanted to make playoffs. I just want to see the Cowboys lose, to be honest.
There you go. See, it's different from tennis. I like Carson Wentz. I like you at the U.S. Open. Eagles winning the Super Bowl, I think, is crazy talk. But we don't want to turn this into sports. We're sounding like sports talk radio, which is always a good place to stop. This was great. It's again, it's been a hell of a summer for you, and you earned your wild card. It bothers me when they call you a wild card because, you know, technically that's what you're getting in on, but yours was the earned variety. And you won a lot of matches this summer. Good luck for keeping it up here in New York.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for doing this. That was fun. That was well done.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thanks, man. Take care. All right. That does it for this week. Thanks to our guest, Tommy Paul. Nice kid. Nice conversation. Jamie Lasanti, it's very, very strange to me to have a conversation with someone who is much closer to my kid's age, and for that matter, your age, than to mine. As a fellow 20-something, what'd you make of old Tommy Paul? We got to draw you into these conversations a bit more. You were here. What'd you think of him?
He was good. He warmed up to you.
Nice kid, huh?
He's a nice kid. Calls himself a Southern boy, but he was born in Jersey, so like him.
We should add. You say that as a Jersey girl. Again, I was very skeptical when you see his goals are to be the best player he can be or whatever it was, which sounds very vague. I like that he was unequivocal. He's going to the U.S. Open to try and win 21 sets. I like to hear that.
He also went to Federer's house, which I did not know. I was very surprised.
Ever tell you that story about the house Federer rents in Indian Wells? I hope I didn't violate any confidence with that. All right. Nice kid, though, right?
Nice kid, and he has high expectations for the U.S. Open, but he also loves football and the Eagles, which is weird because...
Voorhees, New Jersey. You'd think he'd be like John Isner, Carolina Panthers fan. I should add, we in full disclosure, I'm ducking away for a few days, so we are... We're recording this a few days out. The U.S. Open draw is not out yet. I think maybe first day or two of the U.S. Open, we should do another podcast. What do you think?
I think so. Do you have a guest in mind?
We might. if Tracy Austin honors her commitment, and I'm sure she will, we'll be talking to Tracy Austin about the 2017 U.S. Open. That does it for this week. Jamie Lasanti, thanks as always for your extraordinary producer talents. Thanks again.
Thanks, as always, for your extraordinary hosting talents.
I wouldn't say that. Thanks to our guest, Tommy Paul. He was great. And we'll have another one next week. Guys, someone suggested him, and it was a good one. It took a while to get it to work, in part because he was winning so many matches. But feel free to keep the suggestions coming. You can you've got to give me a script to say this. What is it? Follow us on iTunes, Stitcher. Where else do they get podcasts these days?
Google Play,
and feel free to leave a comment. Follow us on Facebook. Is there a Facebook page?
No, you have a Facebook page.
I never check
Sports Facebook. Illustrated Facebook.
I'm all about
page.
Twitter. I don't do Facebook. Sports Illustrated Facebook page. All right, keep your suggestions coming. Enjoy week one of the U.S. Open. We'll have another podcast soon. Thanks for listening. Have a good week, everyone.